Welcome to Hebraic Insights in the Gospels. Join us every Sabbath on Zion Road Radio for a look at the life, deeds, and words of Yeshua Messiah and his followers from the Torah-centric Hebraic perspective they were originally lived and written in. Today's program is about Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through verse 43. Who is the remnant daughter of Zion? How are the woman with an issue of blood for 12 years and the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus related to that question? We know that we can learn a lot about faith from their stories, but could there be another aspect to these verses that takes on a more prophetic nature? Are there any parallels between these daughters of Zion and the daughter of Zion? When it comes to the remnant restoration, what is it that will make us whole again? What will restore us? How will the remnant be raised up? Who is going home in the second Exodus? Who will ultimately decide whether you're part of the remnant on that day? What happens if we reach out to Messiah in faith and ask him to direct our steps toward rising up as the remnant of Israel? Can we really trust Messiah to restore us in the right timing, regardless of our current mistakes and faults, so long as we continue to earnestly cooperate with him in honesty and good faith? Or do we have to stress about it every bit of the way until we get there? Stay tuned through to the end of today's program for Eliyahu ben David's insight on these questions and more in Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through verse 43. And now, here's today's scripture portion. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through verse 43. When Yeshua had crossed back over in the boat to the other side, a great multitude was gathered to him, and he was by the sea. Behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name, came, and seeing him, he fell at his feet, and begged him much, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be made healthy and live." He went with him, and a great multitude followed him, and they pressed upon him on all sides. A certain woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things by many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse, having heard the things concerning Yeshua, came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. For she said, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Yeshua, perceiving in himself that the power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "You see the multitude pressing against you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had been done to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be cured of your disease. While he was still speaking, people came from the synagogue ruler's house, saying, Your daughter is dead. Why bother the rabbi anymore? But Yeshua, when he heard the message spoken, immediately said to the ruler of the synagogue, Don't be afraid, only believe. He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, Jacob, and John, the brother of Jacob. He came to the synagogue ruler's house, and he saw an uproar, weeping and great wailing. When he had entered in, he said to them, Why do you make an uproar and weep? The child is not dead, but is asleep. They ridiculed him. But he, having put them all out, took the father of the child, her mother, and those who were with him, and went in where the child was lying. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumai, which means, being interpreted, Girl, I tell you, get up! Immediately, the girl rose up and walked, for she was 12 years old. They were amazed with great amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. And now, here's Eliyahu ben David on that portion.
Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. Great to have you with us this evening for this very excellent and stimulating portion of the book of Mark. Our theme tonight is Don't Be Afraid, Only Believe. And as you'll see, these are words directly from Yeshua Messiah. You know, it's interesting in the scriptures, a lot of times we focus on the sons. And that's just because the scriptures are patriarchal in nature. So a lot of times we focus on the sons. And I myself am very blessed to have some excellent, wonderful sons. But in our message tonight, we want to focus on a daughter. You know, it's an interesting thing about sons. As you look at them in the scriptures, sons have a certain responsibility in the family, and they need to take over when the old man finally can't do it anymore. That kind of thing. So there's a lot of responsibility attached to sons. And I'm not saying daughters don't have any responsibility, but to a father, many times, there's just kind of a special place that he has for his daughter. And his daughter brings a certain kind of joy to him that is different than sons. And if you're a dad, you know what I'm talking about, if you have sons and daughters. And a daughter can have a very special place. And you know, that's why I kind of chose this picture. I don't know, this kind of speaks to me about daughters. And one thing little girls like to do is cartwheels. And when my daughter was little, I would have liked to watch her do cartwheels. And she used to do a lot of things. And, you know, with all boys and just the one girl in the family, she had to keep all the boys in line, and she was really good at that. But mostly, She was just free to be a girl and to be herself. She wasn't intimidated by the boys, and she was free. And I kind of look at that and I think, yeah, you know, that's what faith is about. It's about not being afraid to do cartwheels, not being afraid to reach out and do something beyond what you can do right now, because you believe. Not only do you believe in yourself that you can do it, but you believe that your Father in heaven is with you and you can just do it. And, you know, if you go through life with that kind of an attitude, it's amazing, really, the things that you can accomplish. So for me, this picture kind of summed up what this portion of Scripture is about, the main central message of these verses. But we know there is another message where this is kind of like a parable. And so there's this part, a message for the remnant daughter of Zion. In these verses, this speaks to the remnant daughter of Zion. Now, when I say the remnant daughter of Zion, do you understand who that is? Do you know who that is? Well, let's look at some verses. Who is the daughter of Zion? Zephaniah says this, "Sing, daughter of Zion, shout, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter of Jerusalem." So Jerusalem, Zion, is the capital of Israel. So the daughter of Zion is really all the people of Israel. So in this sense, even us guys are part of that picture of the daughter of Zion. And it's only fair that should be that way, because the gals many times are included with us guys, right? In various pictures in the Scriptures. This time, we're included with them as part of the daughter of Zion. Why? Because of the same idea that I was trying to convey with this picture, this freedom, this joy that comes from having faith in Yahweh and His Son. And this verse is talking about a time when this would happen, where through faith, this special time would happen when the daughter of Zion would sing and shout for joy and rejoice. And it goes on, "Yahweh has taken away your judgment. He has thrown out your enemy. The King of Israel, Yahweh, is in the midst of you. You will not be afraid of evil anymore." A wonderful, wonderful promise for the daughter of Zion, who is Israel. Here's another verse, passage, Micah chapter 4. "In that day, says Yahweh, I will assemble that which is lame, and I will gather that which is driven away, and that which I have afflicted. I will make that which was lame a remnant, that which was cast far off a strong nation." Well, this is talking about the future, after the judgment that was brought on Israel. Israel was unfaithful. They didn't appreciate what they have. And they went chasing after other gods and other things other than Yahweh. And they did evil in His sight. And so they were scattered throughout the world. And what has their lot been? These many, many years assimilated into the world. Well, he describes them as lame and afflicted. They don't mesh very well with the world. They have a lot of problems out in the nations. And he says, "I'm going to assemble them, I'm going to gather them, and I'm going to make them a remnant, the remnant of Israel, a strong nation. And he goes on and he calls them the daughter of Zion. And he even says this, to you it will come. Yes, the former dominion will come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. So this scattered, afflicted people have a promise that they will be regathered as his remnant, that he will form them again into a strong nation, and even the dominion that they once had that we find in Scripture would be restored to them. One more before we go on with our verses in Mark. Zechariah 2. Come, come, flee from the land of the north, says Yahweh. The land of the north is the land of the enemy. The enemy always comes at Israel from the north. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the sky, says Yahweh. So it's not talking about Israel that is in the land. It's talking about scattered Israel. Scattered Israel that has been scattered to the four winds. And then he says this, come Zion, escape, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. So what is this talking about? It is talking about the regathering of the remnant and a time of escape. Now, many times when you hear about the regathering of the remnant, people will tell you that's going to happen after Yeshua Messiah returns, that he's going to regather the remnant. And I would say to you, how is that escaping from dwelling with the daughter of Babylon? Will that not already be taken care of when Messiah comes and settles all those issues? So obviously, if the remnant must escape, this happens before Messiah returns. It's very simple. Many other verses tell you the same thing. Well, I said one more, but I was only kidding. Zechariah 2. Sing and rejoice, daughter of Zion, for behold, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of you, says Yahweh. Many nations, that's a multitude, shall join themselves to Yahweh in that day and shall be my people. It ends up by saying, you shall know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. Sent who? Sent Yeshua Messiah. Well, there's no question as to who the daughter of Zion is in prophecy. The daughter of Zion that is talking about here is indeed the scattered remnant of Israel. And we have some indications in the book of Mark that while these stories are wonderful, just taken at face value as lessons in faith, they also have a message for the remnant here in these last days. Mark 5 presents these stories of two daughters of Zion, and it intertwines these stories together, which is kind of unusual. And we notice that both of these are called daughters in the text. Jairus calls his daughter my little daughter. Now, those words are just dripping with love and affection, aren't they? My little daughter. Could it be that's how Yahweh thinks about us? And then we have Messiah speaking to the afflicted woman who had faith. Daughter, your faith has made you well. calling her daughter. Both then are called daughter. And both feature the number 12, the number of Israel. Surely this was not a coincidence. I'm not saying the stories were set up or something, but you know, Yahweh does these amazing things. We talked about parables in real life. And I think what we're reading here is a parable that happened in real life. In the one case, we have the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, and we have the 12-year-old girl. Interestingly, these must have been the same 12 years, right? Because the woman was just healed of her affliction after 12 years, and the little girl was 12 years old. So it must have been the same 12 years. A certain assigned time period, if you will. So as we look at this and we see these stories are intertwined, actually they're intertwined because they're both telling us about the same story, but each from a little different perspective. This is the story of the daughter of Zion, the remnant of Israel, from two different perspectives. So let's look a little closer. First, we want to look at Jairus, who is one of the rulers of the synagogue. Now, let me just say that that was an honorable position. And while there were some religious leaders who are examples of hypocrisy and false religion, we couldn't say that about this man because obviously, he fell at the feet of Yeshua, Messiah. So he was the real deal. And his name means whom God enlightens. So as we look at this, shouldn't we expect some enlightenment? Maybe something a little bit beyond just what's on the face of the passage. And he begged, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her that she may be made healthy and live." Well, I think there are certain leaders among Yahweh's people who are very concerned about the remnant of Israel. And really, they look out and they see the people of God and they're very concerned about what they see. Really, a people at the point of death. Not a lot of life. And what do? They fall at his feet. And they ask him, "Help us." And immediately he went with him, and a great multitude followed. So that's kind of cool, because where Messiah is going, a great multitude is going to follow. Now, it might not seem right now that we are seeing that, but I believe this gives us hope that we will see it, and indeed the scriptures tell us in other places that great multitudes are going to be gathered because of what Yahweh will do with the remnant. And then we get to a certain woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. The real problem here for this woman is she was unclean. And this, in many ways, separated her from her family and even from her husband. And that's a real problem for 12 years. Isn't it? This next part, I think, is interesting. She had suffered many things by many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. It's interesting that her suffering was not just the condition she had. but she actually suffered at the hands of the doctors. And not only did they cause her suffering and pain, they even made her worse. So my question, what is more worthless than a doctor who only makes your health worse? And the answer to that is a pastor who makes your spirit worse. A religious teacher that leads you in the wrong way. And isn't that what happened to the remnant of Israel? Now, I'm not saying, speaking of our forefathers, that we didn't deserve it. Because why were they scattered? It's because they went chasing after everybody but Yahweh, right? But what was the result over time? Suffering. Suffering and pain and lots of it. And their condition was bad to start with, but it only got worse because of all the bad teaching. And you know, many of us have experienced that. We have gone from one teacher to another, one group to another, and in many cases experienced a great deal of spiritual abuse. So at what point do we say, I've had enough of that, and instead, I'm going to go to the master for healing? Having heard the things concerning Yeshua, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. So she didn't even come to his face and say, please help me. She just came up behind him and touched, as we know, the tzitzit, the fringe of his garment. And this is what she said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be made well. And it tells us immediately the flow of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. You know, this was a brave thing for her to do. You know, she knew that she was considered unclean. And so to deliberately touch someone, especially someone who is considered a holy man, many people would consider that a brazen kind of act, an unholy act. But really her faith was quite great because she realized that her uncleanness wasn't going to make him unclean. His cleanness was going to make her clean. She knew that because she had heard about him. She knew something about him. And she knew that's what would happen. And immediately it did. And it uses the word immediately. It happened immediately. What did she hear? What did she hear? No doubt she heard some of his teachings. No doubt she heard of the healings and casting out demons. She might have even heard that there was a rumor that he was the Messiah. Whatever it is she heard, it caused her to touch his clothing. Why did she do that? You know, she touched the tzitzit. And what are the tzitzit? They stand for the commandments, don't they? She knew he keeps the commandments. I'm thinking there's a picture here for the remnant. Because she's reaching out to touch the commandments. I'm talking now about the covenant through Yeshua Messiah, looking for his righteousness to be imparted to her for her to be restored. Isn't that what the remnant is looking for? Reaching out and touching him, looking to be restored. And how was she immediately made well? You know what? He wanted her to do it. All she had to do is make the connection. Faith is how it happened. Faith is how this will happen for the remnant. It is. Well, what happened with Yeshua? Immediately, he's looking around and he's saying, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples are saying, "You've got to be kidding. Look at all the people out there." And yet, he looked around to see her who had done this thing. He looked right at her out of that whole multitude. How did he perceive one individual out of all those people? I'll tell you this. Yeshua Messiah has a highly tuned faith meter. And when someone reaches out and touches him with faith, the power goes out of him into them and does its work. And that's what happened. And he knew it. And he was able to identify her because he saw that faith in her. Isn't this who we need to be if we're going to be part of the remnant? You know, you just think about this woman, 12 years, and she's been going to all these doctors and they've all messed her up. How can anybody have faith after that? How come she's not so discouraged and just saying, "I'm never going to get over this"? She was a cut above the ordinary person when it comes to faith. She had heard something about him. She saw something in him. And despite all of that discouragement, she touched him in faith and she was healed. This is what has to happen with the remnant for us to be made clean, to be made whole, to be gathered again. And this is happening, and this will be completed. Well, it's about the woman fearing and trembling. Perhaps she had some sense of fear of Messiah. You know, a lot of times people who have been through suffering, like her, have a sense of fear towards people they think of as great people. Maybe she was afraid because of that. I'm really not so sure, but I do know this. She was completely honest with him. She just fell down before him and told him the truth. That's what faith does, by the way. Faith doesn't make excuses. Faith doesn't deceive. Faith just tells the truth. And you know, if we deal with him that way, he will deal with us that way. And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be cured of your disease." We have all these promises in the scriptures telling us about the remnant in the last days. Those of us who are of the remnant, we have his spirit in our heart telling us that. And yet, we don't see the remnant out there like some distinct group, like some sort of a religious denomination or something. It takes faith. We walk by faith, not by sight, right? And it is our faith that will make us well, and we will see this come to its conclusion. So we have the question, what will cure the affliction of the remnant? The answer has to be Messiah, but through faith. It's not going to come simply by an act of magic. It's going to involve our faith. And you know, when we talk about faith, we're talking about works of faith. We have to have works of faith. When she reached out and touched his garment, that was a work of faith. Had she just believed in him but not done that, would she have gotten her healing? I don't think so. Works of faith are needed. Then it goes on. While he was still speaking, people came from the synagogue ruler's house saying, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the rabbi anymore?" Now, I find this amazing, and I have the question. What was he still speaking about? The answer was, at the very moment he is speaking to that woman about her faith making her well, we have these other people who are tearing down the faith of Jairus. Isn't that interesting? And you know what? It seems we always have this going on. We always have two voices. We have the voice of faith, and we have the voice of unbelief. And you know what? You can listen to either one. You can choose either one, because both voices are always there. And what were they saying? Your daughter is dead. And then Yeshua said to Jairus, when he heard the message spoken, immediately said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Think of it. Think of coming into your house, having a crowd of people, and having them tell you, "Your daughter is dead." Do you have a daughter? How would that make you feel? Would that be like an arrow cleaving your heart? Would it fill you with fear? Yeshua knew exactly what to say. Don't be afraid, only believe. I think before I go on to this, I'll just mention one more thing about that. They said the girl was dead. People get confused about these passages. They're not sure whether she was dead or whether she was just asleep. Do you know when the scriptures talk about the death of the saints? It says they're asleep. Are they dead? A lot of them are nothing but dust right now. But the scripture says they're asleep. The voice of faith says they're asleep. The voice of unbelief says they're dead. Do you understand? The remnant of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 37. The valley of dry bones. Do you suppose those dry bones scattered out across the valley are dead? They look dead. They don't have any internal organs. But no, they're just asleep. Because the Spirit of God goes through their midst. The bones rattle and shake. Pretty soon, sinews and muscles come onto those bones and they're raised up and they're alive. That's the remnant of Israel, friends. Is the remnant of Israel dead? Seems dead. Been dead a long time. Been assimilated into all the nations. Looks dead. But Yeshua says, no. The daughter of Zion is just asleep. She's not dead. Because he's got the power. He's got the resurrection power to raise up his nation. And we need to believe it. We must believe it. Jairus needed to believe it. That afflicted woman needed to believe it, and we need to believe it. And we need to act on it. Well, you know what? Messiah threw all the unbelievers out of the house. You have to separate yourself from unbelievers if you're going to be a sanctified person. It's not easy to do. But that unbelief is like a cancer on your faith. You can't live around unbelief all the time and have it not affect you. You need to think about that. That's what he did. And he allowed no one to follow him except certain people. People of faith. So my question is everything for everybody? Does Messiah really treat everybody the same? Does God really love everybody the same? You're not going to like my answer. Because my answer is no. No. He can't effectively love you any more than what you will allow him to do. All day long he can be sending his love in your direction, and all day long you can be pushing it away. Faith is so important here. If you want the blessings, if you want the love that comes from our Father in heaven, we can get that through Yeshua Messiah, but we must receive it by faith. No, everything is not for everybody. The overcomers are people of faith. The promises are for the overcomers. Read the first three chapters of Revelation if you don't believe that, because it's very clear there. The child is not dead, but is asleep. Well, it doesn't hurt to think of that again. Is the remnant dead? Or is the remnant asleep and starting to wake up? They ridiculed him. The unbelievers always ridicule the people with faith. They think you're naive and stupid. That's when he had to throw them out. I find it interesting he didn't argue with them. He didn't think, well, if I just tell them what the truth is, they're going to come along. You know what? It doesn't work like that. Unbelief is not persuaded by logic. You can't argue an unbeliever into believing. That'll never happen. So after he put them out, he took the father and the mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was lying. Again, he took the people of faith with him. What does this mean about the remnant? Who is going home in the second Exodus? Is it going to be everyone? Or is it going to be a certain group of believers? Those who have believed what Messiah is doing with the remnant. Aren't the ones he's going to take with him those people? And we all get to decide whether we're going to be one of those people. We got people raising their hands here. We do. We get to decide that. And if we are the ones that have that faith, we're going. Well, here's the fun part. I love this. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumai, which means being interpreted, girl, I tell you, get up. How will the remnant be raised up? Are all these radio messages I've put out going to raise up the remnant? How about all the videos I've put out and the books? Are those things going to raise up the remnant? No. No. There's no radio program that can raise up the remnant. There's no video that's going to raise up the remnant. If the remnant's going to be raised up, it's going to be Messiah that will do it. And there's going to be a voice. I tell you, get up. And when you hear his voice, you'll get up. I know I will. So where does all that stuff come in? Where does this meeting come in? What are all the teachings and all of that? Where does that all come in? Well, we're going to see that. Immediately, the girl rose up and walked, for she was 12 years old. Strange how that is right there. She got up and walked because she's 12 years old. What? The time for Israel has come. That's what that's saying. When the time for Israel comes, Yeshua Messiah is going to say to the remnant, get up, and they will. And everybody will be amazed. We shouldn't be. We should not be amazed because Yahweh keeps his word. Because he always keeps his word. But I'll tell you, we will. They were, we will. And it will happen. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Why did he order them not to tell about it? Because his time had not yet come. You know, right now he is doing a lot in the lives of the scattered remnant around the world. And the world doesn't know about it because the time has not yet come. But nevertheless, it's a real thing and it's really happening. And then he commanded that she be fed. Why did he command that she be fed? Because to be a healthy person, you need to be fed. To be a healthy remnant person, you need to be fed from the word. You need to be fed on the truth. You need to get to know your forefathers, the patriarchs. You need to know the prophets. You need to understand the Torah. You need to walk with Yeshua Messiah where he walked. You need to see the faith of the disciples. You need your spirit to be fed. And that's the reason for the radio programs. That's the reason for the videos. That's the reason for the meetings every week and all the things he does through you as well. Studying the scriptures, learning about him, sharing with others, teaching other people from his word. All of that is part of this feeding work. And you know what? When the scattered remnant is raised up, they're going to find that there is a bounty of spiritual food just waiting for them. And what may have taken some of us years to get a hold on, they're going to grasp in a very short time, and it's going to make them strong for the things that he has ahead for them. These are two amazing and wonderful stories. They are stories of overcoming faith, and they, I feel, reinforce and lift up the prophecies of Scripture having to do with the remnant. Now, you might feel that there's things preventing you from moving forward, but don't be afraid. Only believe.
Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. And walk in it.
You have been listening to Hebraic Insights in the Gospels. Some of the scripture verses referenced in today's program are Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14 through verse 15, Micah chapter 4, verse 6 through verse 8, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 6 through verse 7, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 10 through verse 11, Ezekiel chapter 37, and the first three chapters of Revelation. Further teachings and study materials on Messiah, the daughter of Zion, Zion in biblical times, Zion in the New Testament, Zion in prophecy, Zion ministry, the remnant Exodus, the last days, faith, the covenant, along with many other related resources and topics, and our free video course, Zion Fast Track, which teaches more about all these topics, can be found at our membership site, Zion Tabernacle. Sign up is free. Just go to zion.net. That's TSIYON.NET. New programs on the Gospels will be airing every Sabbath on Zion Road Radio. Tune in next Shabbat to learn more from Hebraic Insights in the Gospels. Shabbat Shalom!
of Israel, weep for joy. I brought you out of the nations.
Would you like to hear more of Eliyahu's teachings? Do you have a question or prayer request and would like to get in touch with one of our volunteers for help? Or do you just want to know more about Eliyahu ben David and Zion Ministry? Visit our website at zion.org, where you can listen to more teachings from Eliyahu ben David straight from the homepage of our website. Check out our books, DVDs, internet videos, and other social media outlets. Learn more about Eliyahu and the Zion team on the About page. See what our ministry's mission is on the Remnant Vision page. Send a question or prayer request from our Contact Us page. Or click Join Us in the menu bar to learn about our community site, Zion Tabernacle. To find out more about Zion Ministry, go to zion.org. That's zion.org, spelled TSIYON.org.